Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Your voice, your vote, Super Tuesday. I'm Sherry Preston. Nikki Haley is dropping out. Her one Super Tuesday win in Vermont, not enough. ABC News has learned that she will suspend her campaign for president, with an announcement coming later today. The former South Carolina governor is not expected to endorse Donald Trump today, but will instead encourage him to earn the support of Republican and independent voters who backed her. ABC's Brian Clark takes a look at exit polling in one state.
Virginia was one of many of Donald Trump's Super Tuesday wins, but he's lost the state in the last two presidential elections. Looking towards November, there could be more red flags. Nearly 80% of Nikki Haley's supporters told exit polls they would not automatically vote for a Republican in November.
In a 10 a.m. Eastern Time announcement this morning, Nikki Haley is expected to emphasize she will continue to advocate for conservative domestic and foreign policies as she suspends her race for the GOP nomination. This is ABC News. The vote almost unanimous among members of the Dartmouth men's basketball team to join a union. ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
The players voted 13-2 to join the Service Employees International Union, which already represents some employees at Dartmouth. The team saying it aims to create a less exploitative business model for college sports, but the school is fighting the effort. It's appealing to the National Labor Relations Board, trying to overturn a recent decision that said Dartmouth players are employees and therefore can unionize. The school is also warning players that union could get them ejected from the Ivy League or possibly even the NCAA.
The school's legal challenges could also end up in federal court, and that means there may not be a final decision until after these players graduate. And Target is hoping a lot of shoppers will pay to be in the Circle. It's introducing a new membership program, Target Circle 360, for $100 a year. Members get benefits like free same-day shipping on some orders and two-day shipping on anything that they buy. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggyhoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The president of the Wisconsin Technical College System is set to retire later this year. Dr. Morna Foy has served as the system's president since 2012. She has worked in the state technical college system since the late 90s. There are 16 schools across the entire technical college system with nearly 280,000 students. Foy says that it was an honor to lead the organization. The system will now begin a nationwide search for her successor. Recent rainy weather has somewhat lowered the risk of wildfires in Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says most of the state's midsection is at a low risk of danger, while southern and eastern Wisconsin are still at high risk. 138 wildfires have burned about 300 acres of land in Wisconsin already this year. I'm Nate Wiggyhoe, Civic Media News.
A slugfest between the Brewers and Giants. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A combined 29 hits between the two teams, but the Giants came out on top 13-8 over the Brewers. Rhys Hoskins, who turns 31 later this month, got his first home run as a Brewer.
I'm just excited to be a part of it and excited to see what I can do to help these guys to bring another division championship back to Milwaukee.
College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers have slipped dramatically, losing 7 out of their last 9 games, but a report by CBS Sports says they still expect Wisconsin to make the final cut for the NCAA tournament. Marquette hosts number 2 ranked UConn, but without Tyler Kolek, dealing with an oblique muscle injury.
Obviously an opportunity to play a great team. Can't say enough about Tyler Kolek. It's obviously unfortunate that Tyler won't be able to play, but the good news is we feel very confident that he will be able to play at some point very soon.
That's Marquette head basketball coach Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny this morning with a few more clouds gradually trickling in here throughout the afternoon. Our high today, 50, with wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 32. Tomorrow it'll be partly cloudy, 53, with scattered rain tomorrow night into Friday. Our high Friday, 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 27.
Wednesday on the Maggie Dawn Show, Dr. Jeanette Kowalik, former City of Milwaukee Health Department Commissioner, talking about women in government.
The Maggie Dawn Show, afternoons from 2 till 4. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And I've got a question for you right off the top of the show. Where'd my voice go? Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is Wednesday, March 6th. It is a beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, social media, on demand by podcast, however you got here. Nice to have you here. And for folks who are not regular listeners of the show, it does not normally sound like this. I was out sick yesterday. You'll recall, and let's bring in poor Greg Bach, who's had to deal with all this past couple days. Do you remember about 7:45 on Monday morning where it just seemed like my voice gave out? You remember you asked on air, like, what's happening to you? And I'm like, I don't know. And I was like that the rest of Monday. I felt great, but my voice just completely went. And then about midnight that night, Monday night, the freight train hit. And again, it could have been any number of things. We were on the road last weekend. Could have been those kids with the runny noses that I was hanging out with over the weekend. But whatever it was, it hit hard yesterday. So apologies. Well, there you go. Thanks for rolling with the punches there, Greg. Appreciate it.
Not a problem, my friend. I just want you to get better and feel good and get those golden pipes. Get the money maker working again, baby.
There you go. Yeah, let's do that. Here's a little bit of what's coming up this morning, froggy throat notwithstanding. We're going to push on through, thanks to, as will become obvious, some pre-recorded conversations with my Up North News colleagues. Christina Laurie will tell us about how it's Girl Scout cookie season. Sharita Booker will introduce us to a little kid who's got a big future interviewing celebrities. We'll catch up with Melissa Kay to see what's happening at locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Then a busy second hour as well. We will have our regular monthly visit with Congressman Mark Pocan one day before the State of the Union and a few other things going on in Washington. Then we'll visit, we'll visit with Dr. John Lupinacci and Dr. Tim Slecker, hosts of Busted Pencils, the civic media education-themed show that's now airing five nights a week, and Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show. All that and more ahead. If you would like to join us along the way, just to say, hey, I'm going to talk for a bit, Pat, so you don't have to. Here's our phone number, 855-75-CIVIC, or 855-75. Let me do that again. 855-752-4842. Temperatures around Wisconsin to start off this Wednesday morning, not bad at all for, again, the first full week of March here. It's 23 degrees up here in Chippewa Falls, 25 in Hayward. Wausau's at 25, Green Bay 28, La Crosse 27. Wisconsin Rapids at 25. Oshkosh 31 degrees right now. Madison's 29. And Waukesha, it is 34 degrees. So we slide most of our guests over. Apologies to Hans Breitenmoser. We'll try to get him on next Tuesday. And to Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg, we'll try to get her scheduled again, you know, as soon as we possibly can, because it's always nice to visit with her as well. Greg, I don't know all of the swag that's available through Civic Media. Oh. I do know that at Christmas time, the folks at Courier Newsroom, the parent company of Up North News, said, you know, we're going to be sending you some kind of swag for the end of the year. Well, it took until this first week of March, but finally in our Slack channel, people started putting up as soon as they received it, and I received mine yesterday, this giant Courier Newsroom tumbler. It's not a Stanley, but this thing, I'm sure it's 40 ounces. I didn't scientifically measure it, but I've seen these before with people,
yeah.
And I don't know who carries 40 ounces of anything around with them all the time. Look at this thing; it's huge.
That's huge. That's a lot of hydration, friend.
That really is. I mean, look, I appreciate the gesture and everything, but you guys have anything like that down there?
Well, our store is mainly T-shirts. We got six T-shirts to choose from, a couple Civic Media, then we got a couple of WGBW. Oshkosh Air Support and a walk shirt or walk show WAUK. I'm at WAUK right now, 540 AM, 101.1 FM. And we call it the walk WAUK. And we get a t-shirt from them and then a Civic Media hat. So there's some good stuff in there. So if you want to head there, you can, you know, just click on the store button on civicmedia.us.
You know, we just had a meeting a week ago between the Civic Media marketing folks and the Courier Newsroom marketing folks saying, you know, hey, you got this program in the early morning that's kind of a bridge between the two groups. Why don't we do more to help each other out? And that's the first time it's occurred to me. I mean, late last year when we were doing T-shirts, I was putting that slide up all the time for our viewers on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly we got to start pushing the merch here too for Civic Media.
Yeah, I honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing some like non-T-shirts too. Like a cup would be cool, and a beanie hat maybe, or you know, some keychains or something. I got ideas.
I have been pushing for the longest time Up North News Radio coffee mugs. Who would want a coffee mug in the morning for a morning radio show?
And I must say that all coffee mugs nowadays, you know, the traditional size, they're adorable. But I think all coffee mugs now should just be the bigger, like, you know, that one, that the big size on the Keurig, you know.
Yes, the big size on the Keurig. I like that. Yeah, you know, it's 14 or 16 ounces, something like that, instead of your 8 to 12. Yeah, I get it, because the mug I used to have was pretty adorable. But even the one I've got now with all the grandkids on it, that's one of those that's like 14 or 16 ounces. Oh, look, I can see that two of them that are sitting there on the mug. Oh, they have runny noses.
I'd be like, let's get Grandpa sick.
Let's do that again. Kristen Lyerly will be back tomorrow, and she will have as a guest along with us, Jamie Wall, former congressional candidate, who's now a candidate for state senate in Northeast Wisconsin. In our newsletter for that, head over to upnorthnewswi.com, and you will see my story that I talked about on Friday, if you were here, asking who is blocking Tammy Baldwin's bill, a bipartisan bill, to put a new memorial on the National Mall dedicated to the suffrage movement, all the women who made great sacrifices over a couple of generations to win the right to vote for women. There is no national monument to them in the nation's capital, and yet a year after Senator Baldwin introduced the bill, one particular agency is holding things up. Find out what that is in our newsletter or head over to our website and read my story there, upnorthnewswi.com. Also, in the newsletter today, the results of Golf Digest's Best States for Public Golf. And the results look pretty good for Wisconsin. High rankings for the Badger State, thanks to an abundance of champion grade courses. So look for all of that in the newsletter. Sign up at our website over at upnorthnewswi.com. Also on the website, the Biden administration last week announced a new rule that will reduce childcare costs for more than 100,000 American families over the next few years. The actions proposed last week will cap child care co-payments at 7% of a family's income for qualifying families. In another post, you will want to look at the photos on one of our social media posts. Look at the photos of actual medications and the counterfeit pills that contain fentanyl and see how you can possibly spot the difference and learn more details about identification and prevention. And again, for that, look for us on social media. You may have to search for Up North News WI. A little bit of breaking news at 6:15 to start off our Wednesday morning. Nikki Haley will suspend her presidential campaign this morning. The Associated Press says that's according to three different people with direct knowledge, but who wanted to speak anonymously because they were not authorized to speak for the campaign. The former South Carolina governor and UN ambassador was Trump's first significant rival when she jumped into the race in February of last year. And had it been limited to that, Nikki Haley was like the first one. And had all the other people who had since dropped out, if maybe they had unified behind her, maybe a whole lot of other Republican voters would have felt like they have a home. They have a candidate. As it stands, a whole lot of people who voted for Nikki Haley in these primaries say that they will not vote for Donald Trump in the general. They'll stay home, not just because of Trump, but because of, you know, some of the other candidates that are going to be on the undercard. In North Carolina, the winner of the Republican primary for governor there is a Holocaust denier. And here in Wisconsin, Republicans are not only going to be asked to choose a ballot that has Donald Trump on it, but a guy that owns a $1 billion bank in California running for Senate here in Wisconsin. So there's going to be a lot of Republican-leaning voters who may not necessarily show up in November or will, you know, vote Democratic or independent for the first time because they don't like what's on the ticket. Trump and his allies, for their part, will certainly try to muddy the waters. They will make this race dirty. They will throw all manner of things out there, a lot of it untrue. Trump's talking last night about, you know, migrants and violence and crime, when violent crime is down in this country and when crime among the migrant population is like exponentially less than it is among the native population here in the country. But, you know, you never go wrong in some circles by stirring up hatred against immigrants. And by doing so, they hope that Democratic leaning voters and independent voters will also stay home. Haley is not planning to endorse Trump in this morning's announcement. She is expected to encourage him to earn the support of the coalition of moderate Republicans and independents who have been supporting her so far. Quick couple of sports notes here. You've got the Milwaukee Bucks are at Golden State tonight. So that's a late start. 9 o'clock tonight will be Milwaukee at Golden State. The Badger men's basketball team will host Rutgers tomorrow. Some civic media stations will have the game. Some civic media stations will have the State of the Union address, which is scheduled for tomorrow night as well. The 8th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team will host 2nd-ranked UConn tonight. The Golden Eagles lost on the road to the Huskies 2 weeks ago when UConn was ranked number one in the country. When we come back, we'll hear from Sherita Booker, social media manager at Up North News, a few more of those stories that you can find that we're working on, find them online, and then we'll talk maybe a bit more about some of the things that Donald Trump said after his Super Tuesday victory last night and what that really says about how he views America. Wherever you're listening to this gravelly-throated host on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Bangkok, oriental setting, and the city don't know what the city is getting. The creme de la creme of the chess world in a show with everything but Yul Brynner.
I was out sick yesterday. We didn't have our usual history lesson, so I wanted to carry over one from yesterday. Murray Head. Heard there on One Night in Bangkok turned 78 years old yesterday. We'll have more of today's historical notes coming up about a half hour from now. And coming up in just a little bit, we'll have the Midwest Farm Report. Before we hear from Christina Laurie and Sharita Booker, my Up North News colleagues, there was some news that happened yesterday while I was out sick as well. A lot of it is going to wait till our next hour. We'll talk to Congressman Mark Pocan about some recent remarks by Congressman Derek Van Orden. And also some new video and evidence that was released earlier this week about the fake electors in Wisconsin and just how much more detailed that plan was, and that there was a role in there from Senator Ron Johnson. And that's coming up when we talk to the congressman in our next hour. And now let's visit with Sharita Booker, social media manager for Up North News, who posts so many of the things that you can find on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Sharita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Hey, let's start with one that I know Selena mentioned last week, but I still think it's a very worthy thing, probably because I spend so many of my weekends looking at, you know, the HGTV type of, you know, remodeling shows and house shows. And what's the other one? Oh, Magnolia, the one with Chip and Joanna Gaines. Do you watch much of those networks at all?
I actually don't.
Okay. No, it's not mandatory watching, trust me. It's kind of nice white noise in the background as people are doing remodeling of this and that. And there's all these niches, like really old homes or really new places. And I like the niche about a Wisconsin cabin that, you know, has been in the family. What's the post about and what are folks being invited to do?
So there's a casting call for a series it's based in Minnesota, but they're doing castings in Wisconsin also, and it's focusing on cabin remodels and preserving family memories. So there's a lot of comments underneath that post. One from Kathy that said, our family cabin was bought by my great grandparents and was the logging camp before that. Original logs from Logan Cabin is still standing. And Annette said, Tomahawk, Wisconsin, getting ready to pass our cabin to fourth generation, built in 1948 with lumber from the property. And there's a lot of other stories underneath that post as well.
Yeah, there are. I mean, there's some great photos of some older cabins and people telling the stories about it, you know, being handed down from generation to generation. And, you know, as we were saying before, because of that, it probably means a lot of them need some love. They need some work. You know, they've been around for a while. And so if one of these remodeling shows is willing to tell your story and also help with the remodeling, that's going to be a good thing. It was really nice to see all the responses to our post.
Yeah. Help preserve it for generations to come. That'll be really nice.
Right. Right. So look for that on our social media feeds. The next one, I learned a little something today. It talks all about a teenager from Wisconsin, and I was today years old when I learned there's not just the Iditarod sled dog race up in Alaska. There's a junior Iditarod, right?
Yeah, that's really cool. So there's a 17-year-old Wisconsin native from Brule, Wisconsin. His name is Morgan Martins, and he took second place in a junior Iditarod. I just learned how to say that word today in Alaska. He finished the race in 12 hours and 23 minutes, and he has been training since he was just 2 years old. That post had over 100 shares and dozens of comments, many of them people sending their congratulations to Morgan.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this, since he was 2 years old, he's been around, you know, dog sleds and sled dogs and learning all of this. And I would not have imagined it because, again, it's not, I have not seen a dog sled going across a frozen lake with soda, but there are certainly places where that is the case. And so good on him. I think that was very cool. Here's another cool thing. And look, we've seen this before where, you know, young journalists, quote unquote, you know, interview celebrities and athletes and things. And, you know, they're kind of cute sometimes, but this kid that we're about to tell you about, his name is Jeremiah Fennell. I mean, I could not believe what I was hearing. Tell us about the kid and the clip.
So he's interviewing Giannis Antetokounmpo at the premiere of his documentary, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey. And he just did so excellent. Like, he did his homework. He had like Giannis' background information. He was just informed. It was just excellent. The way he talked, he presented himself, his questions. He was so professional. And that video had over 1,000 likes and almost 300 shares. Craig commented on that post and said the precision, the poise, the professionalism that kid has an incredible, bright future ahead of him. God bless them both. And Z said, this kid will be a great journalist in the future. Well, he's already a great one by the question he asked.
Oh, without a doubt. Let's pause for a second. I just want to play a little bit of this kid doing the interviews, because what you don't hear. Well, here, just listen. We'll come back on the other side.
Hi, I'm Jeremiah with Jeremiah 1-5 and Nike Social, and I am here with Bucks power forward Giannis Antetokounmpo. Honor and privilege to be speaking with you today. So you started out your NBA career as a young, small bench player for the Milwaukee Bucks. Yes. And now you are an 8-time All-Star, 2-time MVP, and you managed to bring the Bucks their second franchise championship. So my first question to you is, what on and off the court changed for you in order to lead to your success, and who do you owe your success to?
Now, here's what you don't hear. You don't hear Chris Farley talking to Paul McCartney in the old Saturday Night Live bit where he's like, you remember when you did that? That was really cool. This kid is certifiably good. He is ready for network TV, honest to goodness, right now.
Really? I feel like he does better than me.
Oh, my goodness. Like I said, great homework on the questions. And this isn't, you know, he's been doing it. He was doing it at the Super Bowl. He did this last year. That's how he really first came into prominence. When he was talking to Davante Adams from his hometown Las Vegas Raiders, because he is a Las Vegas kid. He's had some health issues that led him to, you know, pursue, you know, journalism. He's become quite the YouTube star, and we've got a clip on that on social media talking to Giannis. And like I said, you probably saw there was probably quite the positive response, not just in those comments, but in everything else afterwards. I loved that. I'm just gushing because I don't know what else to say about this kid.
And it was so cute. Did you see, like, you know, Giannis is so tall, so he's holding the microphone and he has to switch hands every now and then because he's so high up.
Yes. And I just thought that was, adorable, which he probably doesn't want to hear as a young journalist, but he really was. So go look for that and much more on the social media pages for Up North News. You might have to search for Up North News WI just to make sure. And Sherita Booker puts all these posts together for us. Thanks, Sherita, so much. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
And if it isn't painfully obvious, that was a taped interview because now we are back live.
Pat, what happened? Where did Sherita go? Oh, no.
I need to be replaced by an 8-year-old kid real quick. The kid was good, though. Yeah. I mean, a lot of us, I was playing with my Panasonic tape recorder, you know, back at that age and pretending to be Casey Kasem. And some kids, man, they blossom early. So yeah. I thought that was nice. But you know, often if we brought in kids, you know, off the street, a lot of them would not exactly shine the way that he did.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's kind of, we get that every so often. You get that with somebody that seems to have a lot of potential, and then we saw this with new reporters, and I'm sure you've seen it with hosts and producers.
Yeah.
And they get there and they just kind of freeze, and you know, it's what you do on air is not always the same as behind the scenes.
Oh, agreed.
So it actually is sometimes, folks, a little bit harder than we make it sound. Despite the way it's sounding today. We also talked to Christina Laurie recently, and we'll find out about the Up North News newsletter coming up in just a bit. You're Up North.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, we're starting to get a little bit better picture on monies available through the House and Senate Appropriations Committees. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. They released the first package of final fiscal year 2024 appropriations bills. That's going to dictate a lot of farm programs. Congressman Derek Van Orden from the western portion of Wisconsin sits on the House Agriculture Committee. He explains where he is paying attention when it comes to ag appropriation funding.
And I've been going through it line by line. My staff has dissected it back in Washington right now to make sure that our farmers here in the state of Wisconsin, around the country in production agriculture, are well represented as far as the funding aspect, and also our folks that are in need of SNAP benefits, that they also are well represented. And I have to explain to people that sometimes they don't look too fondly on the SNAP program. I need to remind them that all the food that everybody eats that they get through the SNAP program is produced by a farmer.
Congressman Derek Van Orden, who sits on the House Agriculture Committee from Western Wisconsin, he says so far he's pretty satisfied with the amount of money that he's seeing going to agricultural programs. Markets and overnight electronic trade may not make you happy on a Wednesday morning. A lot of red ink again today. Numbers are next. Research, education, and promotion. That's where Wisconsin soybean marketing dollars are invested. Pat Malooly from Clinton is a grower himself and current president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. He said, we're fortunate to have great researchers that collaborate well with Wisconsin farmers.
To have them here in the state of Wisconsin, the way they can bring it down to farmer terms or just common terms, because there's some researchers that will talk over your head, and they don't do that, and they truly do work well together. The other part of that is they're leveraging dollars back to their programs from the other half of the checkoff dollars that go to the federal level. So a lot of those are coming back to them more than what Wisconsin dollars are showing.
Pat Malooly, president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. He's a grower from Clinton, elaborating on the research team we have right here in the state. Dr. Sean Conley, Dr. Rodrigo Worley, Dr. Damon Smith. Find out more about how your soybean checkoff dollars are invested. Go to wisoybean.org. Brought to you by the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. Yesterday, barrel cheese dropped 2.25 cents to 162.5. 40-pound block cheese was down 3.75 at 149, while AA butter gained 1.75 cents to close at 282.75 per pound. December corn this morning's unchanged at 459. November soybeans are down a penny at 1143. Currently, July new crop wheat is down a nickel at 550. April Class 3 milk's unchanged, 1625 a hundredweight. May milk dropped 19 cents yesterday at 1686 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot of what's happening with the numbers as far as markets are concerned on a Wednesday morning. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny this morning with a few more clouds gradually trickling in here throughout the afternoon. Our high today, 50, with wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 32. Tomorrow it'll be partly cloudy, 53, with scattered rain tomorrow night into Friday. Our high Friday, 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 28.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matinee on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Welcome back. It's time for the Uplift on Up North News Radio. You know what that means. We're bringing in Christina Lurie. She puts together our newsletter, which has plenty of news items of all sorts, but we certainly like to talk about some of the more uplifting ones to kind of offset, you know, a lot of the drudge that is out there in everyday life. We need reminders of the good, the fun, the happy, and Christina does that for us. Christina, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm the yang to your yang.
Something like that, yes. And it's much appreciated. So AJ Dillon has a children's book out. I'm focused more on, you know, baseball, you know, it's spring training and the Bucks are playing and everything. So it kind of caught me off guard to see AJ Dillon's name here, much less as a children's book author. Tell us more.
Well, this is what Packers players do in the off season. Yeah, so the Quad Father himself, he wrote a book. It's a children's picture book called Quadzilla Finds His Footing. And it's really, really cute because while a lot of athletes, they like to write their own autobiographies, usually after they retire, Dillon wrote his autobiography while he's still playing and for a children's audience. So it's the story of how he tried a bunch of different sports growing up. And, you know, he was trying to find something he was good at. He tried one thing. He wasn't the best. He tried another thing. He wasn't the best. He went through baseball and football. And then he eventually found football, loved it. But also the plot twist here, spoiler alert, in case anyone is holding their breath. He continues playing other sports as well, which is a great message that you don't have to go all in on one thing. And you also don't have to be the best at it to be successful. You know, it's a humble book. It has a great message, and he's been out on the road promoting it. There are a lot of cute pictures coming in of him posing with kids who are, you know, new diehard Packers fans, a lot of young girls who read his book too and love it.
Well, good deal. Now let's move to another, well, I was going to say, you know, Wisconsin athlete, when you know, some people still see Chris Chelios that way, but I mean, truth of the matter is this is a hometown Chicago boy story with a very nice Wisconsin connection.
Yes. So Chris Chelios, he is from a town that's very close to where I grew up in Chicago. And being from that area, we're not really used to having any college hockey teams in Illinois. It's just not a thing there. So He wanted to stay close to home. The nearest college that offered a hockey team was Wisconsin. So he went there and he played 2 years. But in that time, he really made a mark. He played for two seasons from 1982 to 83, scored 22 goals, 75 assists, and was named the UW's most consistent player. And then he went on to have this illustrious career. He was in the Olympics multiple times, 4 times Olympian, 3 times as captain. He won 3 Stanley Cups, 3 Norris trophies, was the league's top defenseman, first ballot Hockey Hall of Famer. And this month he had his number seven retired. And why this is such a big deal is that the Chicago Blackhawks, the team which he spent a large chunk of the middle part of his career, they've only retired 9 numbers in their 101 year history. So they're not one of the teams where you go and you see like, I wonder what numbers players could choose. There are so many hanging from the rafters. They're very selective. So this is a huge honor. And he really shouted out Wisconsin in his speech that he gave. He was just so grateful for the opportunities that he had here. And he said it really cemented his confidence and laid the groundwork for an amazing career.
And I always like that when people have lived in two different states, you know, whether it's Minnesota and Wisconsin or Illinois and Wisconsin, to remember them both, remember the places that were good to you. And so I was really happy to see the Wisconsin shout outs, but you couldn't help but catch the joy he felt when he was saying that the only other Chicago area native to have their number retired in their hometown is a guy named Dick Butkus. So that's pretty good company.
Very good company. And it also is timely. I mean, Dick Butkus only died a few months ago, and he's very much beloved across Chicago. But what always, Packers-Bears rivalry aside, I've found being from the Chicagoland area that we have a lot of respect for Wisconsin and Wisconsin sports. Again, Packers aside, you know, University of Wisconsin, University of Illinois, that's a much more friendly rivalry. It's not like us in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. No, and we've had this discussion about politics, and I think real life as well, that, you know, you can have extremely spirited competitions, but you can also have them respectfully. And, you know, that takes us from Dick Butkus and Chris Chelios over to Bart Starr, the late Bart Starr, and his widow Cherry Starr, who recently passed away, where, again, you had a heated rivalry, but you had nothing but admiration for some of the biggest names on both of those teams. That obviously includes Bart Starr, and that obviously includes Cherry, who was, you know, by his side for all those many years.
Yes. Yeah, so she passed away last week. That's why she was in the headlines at age 89. She passed away at her home in Alabama. And I was just doing, you know, like you always do when someone dies, you do a little retrospective on their life. And what really stood out was, yes, of course, Bart went to win two Super Bowls, more championships than any other Green Bay QB. But the best thing about the Starr family was really their philanthropy. And a lot of that hinged on things that Cherry did. So both Cherry and Bart co-founded this group in New London called Rawhide Boys Ranch, and it focuses on helping at-risk and troubled kids throughout the state. They had been doing that since 1965, so almost 60 full years. They also have raised more than $16 million for the Vince Lombardi Classic, which helps fight cancer. And then something that I didn't realize this when it happened, Cherry was really involved until the end. The start of last football season, she wrote a handwritten note to all 32 NFL starting quarterbacks, wishing them good luck on the season. And then all of the quarterbacks, they worked together to respond and sent her an autographed helmet. And they donated that for pediatric cancer awareness. And then just as a testament to the kind of person that Cherry was, of course, at the end of her obituary, in lieu of flowers or anything else, she just asked for donations to any charity that you believe in.
That's very nice. And look, through I am one of many, many, many people who ended up with a car that, I mean, you almost ran it into the ground. And rather than take it to the junkyard, you donated it to Rawhide Youth Services. And it, you know, allowed for some basically vocational training and sales. And it's almost a shame that in an era where, you know, that annoying 1-800 Cars for Kids jingle plays over and over again, there's the Rawhide group. They were doing that long before. And, you know, really making a difference in the lives of so many young people. And I'm sure that's a legacy that will continue to grow long after Bart and Cherry have left us.
And it's awesome that they continued to contribute here in Wisconsin, even though they moved back to Alabama where they were from. They met at a high school in Alabama, so that was very much their home. But they stayed connected to Wisconsin, the state that gave them the opportunities that they had and the ability to be able to do so many amazing things. It's awesome when people don't forget their roots.
You know what people are thinking, though, at this point, like, oh, man, Pat and Christina, they're like almost 10 minutes into this thing. When are they going to talk about food? All right, kids, it's Girl Scout cookie season. Here we go. Although I know you have found reasons to talk about Girl Scout cookies all year long. And I think it's for the philanthropy as much as it is for the food.
See, but can you blame me?
No, not even a little bit. And so we are now officially in season.
Yes, it's officially time. So online sales started here in Wisconsin at the beginning of February, but starting in March, so last Friday, you should have got your first taste this past weekend of Girl Scouts standing outside your local grocery stores. It's always fun to see what types of buildings they decide to stand, you know, where they think they'll make their most money. I think outside bars is a good idea. Just some parent supervision out there. I think you get a lot of hungry customers. But we wanted to go through just a few of the changes this year to prepare you for the season. So boxes went up a bit. Each troop sets their own prices. So they're between $5 and $7 here in Wisconsin. It depends on whether or not you get the gluten-free option. Those are a little bit more expensive. But another change is that you might notice a taste difference in your cookies. Pat, have you ever had bit into a Girl Scout cookie and thought, like, this doesn't taste like how I remember, maybe from year to year?
I can't say that I have, but, you know, I also wouldn't call myself a connoisseur. I basically just unhinge my jaw and I, you know, open up the box and toss them back.
Well, some Girl Scout fans are very particular, and they're noticing, specifically with the Thin Mints, that one type of cookie are a little bit crunchier and mintier, and then another one are more enrobed in chocolate and smoother and more pepperminty than the typical mint chocolate that you might think of. And this is a real thing. This is not just Girl Scout fans being delusional. Girl Scout cookies are actually made by two different bakeries, and which bakery supplies cookies for your area depends on where you live. And then in Wisconsin, both bakeries cover our state. Most of our state goes with one bakery that's called ABC Bakers. And those are the Thin Mints that are crunchier and mintier. Little Brownie Bakers serves the area mostly around Sheboygan, Green Bay, and that's where you get the other type. But this always like raises a couple eyebrows because they are not exactly the same cookies. Some of them don't even have the same name. So that's where you'll see the difference between Caramel Delights and Samoas. Mm-hmm. They're both that same cookie. They're that coconut cookie with the chocolate drizzle, but they're called two different things.
Yes.
It's the same thing with peanut butter patties and tagalongs. Same-ish cookie, slightly different taste and very different names. But we can't have this discussion again without going through our favorite Girl Scout cookies. So Pat, if you only had $5,
Samoas,
buy one box.
Samoas, and then I'd rob a bank so I could buy more. Because if you told me I could only have one box of cookies ever again, that's what it would be, and I'd still want more.
But is it? Do you go all in on Samoas? All your boxes are Samoas?
Oh no, it's always like, you know, three Samoas and two Thin Mints are usually my order. Pretty consistent that way. I've tried the others. I'm certainly not opposed to them, but that's what I would call my annual fix. How about you?
Well, the problem with trying new things, because that's what I do. I am the rare customer who doesn't like chocolate. So my options when it comes to Girl Scout cookies are limited, and the non-chocolate options are always the ones that they play with, besides the peanut butter sandwich cookies, which are also called Do-Si-Dos. They have those every year. They also have their shortbread cookies every year, but unpopular opinion, I don't like their shortbread cookies. I think they're very dry. So I always go for that third option. It's always like a rotating flavor. For a long time, they had this cookie called Lemonades, which I loved. It was just a nice lemon cookie, but they got rid of it. So I'm really stuck. I'm not sure what I'm going to do this year. If anyone has any advice on like suddenly liking chocolate late in life, I'm open to learning about that.
Would you, if you haven't done it already, put back into the newsletter a link? Wasn't it a year ago now? You had a story on the website about like the graveyard of Girl Scout cookies, all the flavors that have come and gone since then, because it's clear you have tried a few of those that are now in the cookie graveyard.
Yes. That's actually linked. If you go to our story on our website, we have like a guide to 2024 Girl Scout cookie season. And I linked that story in there. Cause it's very interesting. The Girl Scouts have been around for 100 years and they've tried more than 50 different varieties of cookies. Many of them only last a year or two, but there are some that were on there for a decade. And I wonder why they turn them around. One from my childhood that I was particularly attached to was called Animal Delights. It was just like shortbread cookie, and it had just a tiny bit of chocolate on the bottom. So I did not find that one too offensive, and I loved it actually. And then they retired that about after, I think it lasted for about 15 years.
They experimented with a lot of things. Sardines and lard didn't really take off the 1 year they tried it. You have to try these things, especially for somebody with, discernible tastes, and not one of them for chocolate, Christina, but they're going to do their best. Christina Laurie, thank you so much. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
All right. Back with more after this. You're up north. And the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio. Singing today, but My Girl by the Temptations was the number one song on this day in 1965. Melissa Kay from locally grown radio WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids is here. How are ya?
Good morning. I am better than you, it sounds like.
I feel much better than I sound.
What a statement, Melissa.
Yeah.
I'm better than you.
I meant that in the nicest way possible.
And
Pat,
I took it in the nicest way possible.
Yeah, Greg just has to turn everything into something bad. Way to go, Greg.
Wait a second. Hey. I have something for that. Hold on. <Uh-oh>. All right.
I love when evil Greg shows up. Because he can't pull it off. He's just too much of a nice guy. Melissa, you had opening night on Friday.
Yes, we did.
Tell the folks about it and where it is if they want to go see you this weekend.
Talk about it for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to go sip some water here. Take it away.
Yes, the Glass Menagerie opened in Wisconsin Rapids at the Centralia Center is where we have our theater there in Wisconsin Rapids. We opened Friday night, and we had a great crowd. Audiences are loving it. I can't believe how many laughs we're getting, which, you know, I mean, this is a pretty play.
Glass
Menagerie.
Yeah, it's actually being very well received by our audiences, which I'm not surprised by, but the laughter did surprise me a little bit. And so we have our second weekend kicks off tomorrow. Wait, today's Wednesday. Yes, tomorrow, Thursday. And then we have a show Friday and two shows on Saturday. We have a matinee at 2 and then a show at 7.
But how nice after months of preparation to finally be up there doing it.
Yeah, we actually only had 7 weeks of rehearsal. I was surprised when they told us that. I'm like, yeah, it felt like months.
That's where the laughs come from. All that auditioning. in the history books today, the Alamo fell on this day in 1836 with all of the Texas defenders killed by Mexican troops. On this day in 1857, the Supreme Court ruled 7-2 in the infamous Dred Scott decision that the Constitution does not confer citizenship on black people. That would eventually be changed after a world war and reconstruction and so much other controversy since then. Getting back to the music history, the Miracles had been without Smokey Robinson for a few years by the time 1976 rolled around, but they stayed active, and one of their songs went to number one on this day in 1976. I'm just a love machine. Just to be clear, that was on the record. That was not me clearing my throat. You know?
Yeah. I think I'm going to go home tonight and say to Bridget, be like, honey, I'm a love machine and I only work for you. And then she'll just be like, ugh, and walk away. Yeah.
David Gilmour of Pink Floyd is 78 years old today. Woo-hoo! Kiki D, remember Elton John and Kiki D doing Don't Go Breaking My Heart?
Oh, yeah.
Kiki D is 76 years old today. She also had a solo hit, I Got the Music in Me. Rob Reiner is also 76 years old today.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
He and Ron Howard, you know, I just, you look at them and they go, God, I knew you when you were so young, and watch everything you've done since as they each moved on to become film directors. You know, Rob Reiner, he was Meathead on All in the Family, and you thought he was just going to be like this, you know, throwaway, you know, supporting actor. And then he started directing films, mm-hmm. Spinal Tap, Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, Stand By Me, A Few Good Men. Just an incredible range for directing. He certainly knows comedy, being the son of Carl Reiner, and Rob Reiner is 76 years old today. Shaquille O'Neal, 52 years old today, basketball superstar. And the Go-Go's became the first all-female band to have a number one album on this day in 1982 with this single off of Beauty and the Beat. It was on this day in 1964 that boxing champion Cassius Clay changed his name to Muhammad Ali. And on this day in 2000, Eric Clapton was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for the third time,
yep.
This time as a solo artist, becoming the first person inducted three times because he'd previously been inducted as part of the Yardbirds and as part of Cream, but then he had a number of solo hits like this one. I still, on occasion, will play his MTV Unplugged, soundtrack special. I'll play that all the way through. It was such a good show back in the day. On the holiday calendar today, it is National Dentist Day. It is National Dress Day. So apparently one of us should have worn a dress, or all three of us, but, you know, we'll
check.
Nobody can see our bottom halves. Maybe we're all wearing dresses.
Maybe there is a kilt going on here. I don't know. Today is Stop Bad Service Day. So it's all about customer service and kicking it up a notch, if you're willing to do that. Otherwise, Karen wants to see your manager. This is National Frozen Food Day. So I guess, you know, hug your Schwann's man when he stops by with the truck.
Oh, you got Schwann's money? Okay, cool. Good to know, Pat.
Actually, we haven't had Schwann's delivery in this neighborhood for 20 years. So, yeah, never see the trucks around here anymore.
I can't believe that's still happening.
Oh, yeah, very much still a thing. Although, I know the company recently, like, either got bought out or something or merged, and I think they were even looking at changing the name. But I'd have to go back and look at the
How
old news story.
How can you change the name?
Well, that's what I wondered.
That's what happens, Melissa. Time marches on.
Yeah,
I guess.
This is National Oreo Day. Were you on Oreos? You a dunker? You a twister?
I mean,
all any
spirit
dunk,
with
twist.
Spirit with a fork. Put it in the milk.
Spirit with a fork.
Well, you don't want to get your fingers dirty.
Just crumble.
I am a pretty princess. Leave me alone.
I was always a dunker. You just hold that baby down there until it
you got to wait till it starts to, you see the little black flecks start to float away, because then you know it's amount of sogginess.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, ever since Double Stuff came out, that's all. I will not eat a regular.
They came out with Thins. I'm like, get out of my house.
Get out of here. Jeepers.
Just give me two black cookies then while you're at it. Ugh.
Right. Hey, Melissa, congrats on the show opening. I know we're going to miss you the next couple of weeks here, but some well-deserved time away, and we will see you in a couple of weeks when you're back.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Good to see you.
Thanks, Melissa. See you later. Congressman Mark.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Wednesday on Matt and Air on Air, State Representative Francesca Hong joins us to talk all things politics, along with her love of tater tots, and we learn about the March of Dimes, March for Change. Join us.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on Lake Air, 1260 AM, 107.5 FM, WLAK.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Your voice, your vote. I'm Sherry Preston. Nikki Haley suspending her